From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Thank you for joining us today. This is Alan Cairns saying hello to you and welcome once again to Let the Bible Speak. We today bring to a close our study of Colossians 1:15 through 17. The subject this week has been the preeminence of Christ in creation. And as I have already stated, this is the platform upon which we will build next week's studies, God willing, the preeminence of Christ in redemption. So stay with us for the rest of this broadcast as we return once more to Colossians 1:15 through 17. Before that, however, we have our daily devotional Bible study today from Romans chapter 8, verse 9. A word of warning. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Sobering and striking words. Sobering because they deal with that relationship with Christ that determines our eternal destiny. Striking because of their appearance in this 8th chapter of Romans, a chapter devoted to assuring God's people of their standing in Christ. Why in the midst of such a comforting chapter does Paul introduce such a disconcerting statement? Because there will always be people who would take the comfort of this passage, Romans 8, without first having taken the Christ of this passage. It is a word of warning to professing Christians. If any man, it matters not your pedigree, you may come from a long line of godly people, but unless you possess the Spirit of Christ, you're none of His. Nor does a mere profession of faith make you God's child. Paul here speaks of possessing Christ's Spirit, not merely professing that you do. Walking an aisle, being baptized, shedding tears, has never yet saved a soul from hell. Once more, if any man, regardless of the persuasion of others, has not the Holy Spirit, he is lost. Do not go out into eternity resting on your reputation with others. When a sinner is born again, he receives the life of Christ, a life that makes him a new creature. And what are the evidences of the indwelling Spirit? Paul tells us, in verse 14 of Romans 8, that as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. But led where? First, led to Christ. Your desires and interests will be turned from the world to the Savior. You will be led also to pray. Christ's own have received the Spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father, as Romans 8:15 tells us. And last, you will be led into obedience to Christ. As verse 13 puts it, those who possess the Spirit, quotes, do mortify the deeds of the body. And that's because Christ's Spirit will gradually but truly change them into His likeness. Have you the Spirit of Christ? What a dreadful thing it would be to be none of His. Rest not until you have cast away all dependence upon self, and have cast your soul entirely upon Christ. And our thought for the day comes from C.H. Spurgeon. Ah, if I am none of His, whose am I?
Thank you.
time to time here on Let the Bible Speak, I have mentioned a useful little tool that we have produced to help Christians with their Bible study. Now, any pastor will tell you that one of the most frequently made requests that he receives from people is for help in studying the Bible. Another very frequent request is for help in establishing a real prayer life. In fact, most Christians will confess that for them, these are the two most important and yet most difficult aspects of the Christian life. Bible study and prayer must always go together. Solid Bible study will be an immeasurable help to your prayer life. With that in mind, we have produced a pamphlet titled The Ten Commandments of Bible Study. Now, they're not really commandments, more guidelines to tell you how to read and get the most out of the Bible, chapter by chapter. When you follow these guidelines, you will have a body of material from each chapter that will form the basis for your approach to God. Let me give you an example. The very first thing to look for in every chapter you read in the Bible is, what does it teach me about God? Look carefully and write down the results. Then as you come to pray, you approach God. You worship and praise Him, not in mere trite or empty phrases, but as you have just found Him in His Word. In this way, your praying is linked to your Bible study, and it's always fresh. The same holds good throughout all 10 guidelines. So I highly recommend that you write or call us and ask for your free copy of The 10 Commandments of Bible Study. It's yours for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is LTBS@freepres.org. Our toll-free telephone number is 1-866-877-LTBS. 1-866-877-5827. We look forward to hearing from you, and we'd be happy to send you the Ten Commandments of Bible Study. And I trust that you will find it an answer to prayer and the best means that you have yet discovered to help you in the study of the Word and in the private place of prayer. Today we come to the final part of this week's studies in Colossians chapter 1. We're looking at the preeminence of Christ, both this week and next week, God willing. This week, the preeminence of Christ in creation. And we're making the point that that's the basis for His preeminence in redemption. We take up the study today with the last point that we made yesterday, that He is the orderer and upholder of the entire creation, that only because of Him is the universe able to exist without chaos. So let's turn to the Word of God as again we think of the preeminence of Christ in creation.
He's the orderer and the upholder of all this creation. Verse 17 says, He is before all things, and by Him or in Him all things consist. The word consist means they hold together. Let me quote another. I'm quoting Anglicans this morning, or English Episcopalians. J.B. Lightfoot said, and it's a beautiful statement, He is the principle of cohesion in the universe. Listen to this. He impresses upon creation that unity and solidarity which makes it a cosmos. instead of a chaos. Now here you would need the scientists to come up with a developing knowledge, or should I say, maybe a more informed speculation as to the very nature of matter. Scientists have told us that really, whereas the ancients thought of everything being so static, everything was just created and stuck there, the way you would get a postage stamp and stick it on, that's it, stuck there. Even the stars were 1,054, if my memory's right, 1,054 fixed stars. They were stuck there like little stamps on the heaven. That was the notion. You know, among many, in the scripture, mind you, the scripture actually said something very different. But it's wonderful how blind people can be, blinded by the knowledge of their day when they come to the Bible. But we have learned that we live in the midst of constant motion. Everything is flying around, as it were. Seems solid enough, doesn't it? Yet every particle is in constant motion. The earth is spinning. It's moving through space. Every other body in space, from the tiniest to the greatest, is a mass of motion. What holds it all together? Don't talk about the laws. Laws are only the imposition of a will. That's all. What holds it all together? What stops this universe from being one vast chaos? What makes the investigation of any scientist, even the one who most denies God, what makes it even possible? It is our Savior. Here's his preeminence in creation. This is his essential and eternal glory. This is the preeminence that belongs to him because he is God. He is our creator. He is the one who orders, upholds, holds together this whole vast fabric of all created things. Now, I said I would ask you to think this morning. We haven't got very far, and yet we have gone a million miles. What I want you to see is there is a preeminence that belongs to Christ because he is the image of the invisible God. He's the firstborn over all creation. This is his natural, essential preeminence. This is what he is. And because of what he is, he became, as the mediator of redemption, he became the first. He came to hold the first place. Now we're going to get to, and we'll wait to the next service, we're going to get to the preeminence of Christ in redemption. But I want you to understand what I'm saying, and this is why Paul took the time to establish this, and why I've taken the time this morning. If Jesus Christ is one whit less than verses 15, 16, and 17 say he is, then the whole notion that he can be a redeemer is a pipe dream and a lie. It is only because of the preeminence that is his in the creation as God over all angels and men, the creator, the upholder, the goal of all creation. It is only because he is that, by his inherent right as God, it's only then that he can become the redeemer. But he was all that. He is all that. He can never be less than all of what Paul here says. And therefore, as we'll see tonight, he is the head of the body, the church. In order that he might be in all things the one holding the first place. Because of what he is eternally, he is the head, the redeemer, the savior, in order that in all things he might come to have the preeminence. It is absolutely essential that we have the clearest, the deepest, the best thought out from Scripture views of Jesus Christ. I said I was going to ask you to think. It's a daunting task, both for preacher and listener, but so necessary. Men and women, I want you to get a grasp on who the Savior is. The more you see him as he is eternally, essentially, the more you will stand back in amazement. My God became my Redeemer. What a miracle. Is it any wonder Paul called it a mystery that God, this God whom I have been describing, not defining, but describing, however inadequately, that this God was manifested in the flesh, and in that flesh purchased our redemption by obedience to the precept and to the penalty of the law, dying the death of the cross? Is that not a mystery? Surely it is, but it's a mystery that calls us to our knees to bow before the ineffable splendor of the deity of our blessed Redeemer. And if you've got the slightest glimpse, if you've only got the slightest glimpse of what I've been trying to say this morning, then surely as never before, you'll be able to say, "Thank you, Lord." Emphasize the Lord. "Thank you, Lord God Almighty, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for becoming first in redemption to be my Savior." May the Lord fix our eyes upon the Savior. Let's bow together in a word of prayer. Let's all seek the Lord's face. Our gracious God and our Father in heaven, we thank thee for the person and the preeminence of thy dear Son. Lord, we confess that we cannot penetrate the internal nature of the Holy Trinity. We confess, O God, that we are limited to what the Lord tells us. We confess, O God, that these puny little minds of ours can never plumb the depths, the infinite depths of the being of our God. But, O, we rejoice in what thou hast taught us. We thank thee that God is not a unit, but a unity. God is a holy Trinity. How we bless thee for what the Bible teaches of the Trinitarian essence of God. And our Father, we bless Thee today for the manifestation of God through Thy dear Son. We praise Thee that Jesus Christ, our Savior, is God manifested in the flesh. We thank Thee that Thy dear Son is no mere creature, even the best or the first of creatures. We thank Thee that He is the foundation of all creation. He is the one by whom, through whom, and in whom creation came into being, by whom, in whom, and through whom it continues to stand in being. We thank Thee, Lord, that He is high over all in hell or earth or sky. We thank Thee, our God, that He is King of this vast universe. We thank Thee, our Father and our God, that all thrones and lordships and principalities and authorities, visible, invisible, in heaven or in earth, are all subject unto Christ. Our Father, we thank Thee for the preeminence that belongs to Thy Son, because He is Thy Son. Lord, fix our eyes on Jesus. Nothing will save us from false doctrine, from the crazy innovations of the age, like a true view of Christ. Nothing will humble us so much as a true view of Christ. Nothing will give us a passion to serve and love the Lord with all our hearts like a true view of Christ. O God, open our hearts that we may receive the glorious truths of the gospel. Bless us as we continue in Thy word. Lord, show us the glory and preeminence of Christ, not only as our Creator, but now as our Redeemer. O Lord, show us Christ in the glory of the shame of Calvary, the glory of the blood shedding and the sacrifice. Lord, show us more and more of our blessed Savior. We think of those who have never looked upon Him by faith. O God, we pray, do a work of saving grace. Give sight to eyes that are blind, hearing to ears that are deaf, life to souls that are damned, salvation to souls who are lost. Hear our prayer. Amen.
Listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. I hope that you found today's broadcasting a blessing to your heart. If you'd like to email us, our email address is ltbs@freepres.org. Or if you'd prefer, you may write us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. We would love to hear from you. If you'd like to know how to be saved and how to be sure you're saved, we'd like to send you my booklet, A New Beginning, and I think that you'll find it very helpful. Each quarter we publish a free full-color magazine, Let the Bible Speak Quarterly, with a good variety of Bible teaching and testimony. It's available to all who request it. If you'd like to receive more information about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America and its ministry, we'd like to send you our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel. Or if you'd like to have tape or CD copies of the messages here in Let the Bible Speak, you may have them by contacting us. Or you may visit us on the web at letthebiblespeakradio.com. Now that's a lot of information to digest all at once, but you can find it all on our website, letthebiblespeakradio.com. There you'll be able to listen to and download our programs, visit our online bookstore, and read a text version of each day's commentary. So visit us today at letthebiblespeakradio.com. This is Alan Cairns saying thank you for listening,
I trust that you'll join us each day at this time, Monday through Friday, as we let the Bible speak.